Gender pay inequality has been an ongoing issue for some time. This week, the BBC was criticised by a group of MPs who published a new report claiming the broadcaster is refusing to admit it has a problem when it comes to equal pay. They said it's failed to learn lessons. We're reading this, it and all that. This is us we're talking about. So they say the BBC has failed to learn lessons and faces a backlash from staff. The money savings expert Martin Lewis yesterday asked if all our pay should be made public. So this is not just high profile presenters, this is you, everybody. Should everybody's pay be made public, and would that contribute to gender equality in pay? The commentator Fionnuala Meredith is with us this morning. Fionnuala, good morning.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the former MP Lembit Opick. Hello, Lembit.
Good morning, sir.
Sorry, there's a little tete-a-tete in the Nolan show which has delayed us getting to you. Finney has fallen out with me again. What do you think, Lembit? Everyone's pay put online across all organisations and there's nothing to hide. What do you think?
This is the politics of envy and insanity. This is the never-ending political correctness snowflake culture which pretends that by exposing everyone to everything, you get justice. Let me assure you, Steve, that it will not be the outcome. What happens then is you end up with internecine disputes between colleagues who thought they were on the same amount of money, who then start resenting each other for having different amounts. And in addition to that, people in the public eye...
But they've also then got the right to ask, why aren't they on the same amount of money? So that's the upside.
But one word, merit. When I worked in the private sector for a very big company, I know that those who I went for lunch with, who started at the same time, were all on different amounts. I was probably on less than some, ahead of others. Now, that's because the merit system does that. Very simple. If you start telling everyone what everybody earns, then that whole merit system becomes a set of envious, resentful, backbiting relationships. Even with the
best in the world, but there might then be scrutiny of, is it being paid, is that person being paid more through merit? Once you have that openness and transparency, some might argue, then you can argue the merit principle.
Extremely simple answer to that. Then the whole company becomes the jury on who gets paid what. That's insane. The best person to judge your worth is really either your immediate boss, or if it's a different system, a board of individuals, but not your peers. And that's the big problem here. We're trying to solve a pay inequality gap. That's a perfectly legitimate aspiration. But simply to throw open the entire system for public scrutiny, well beyond the BBC, in every workplace, it is just insane, because you create so many problems using a sledgehammer to crack a nut.
Well, you say that, and Flo, of course, I'll come to you in a second. All I can tell you, Lembit, it wasn't my decision, it was the BBC's decision, but when my salary was published, all right, I didn't get a lot of flack from the public. There was more flack with the public not knowing. And once it was published, I had quite a few people. Of course, some people, like, I'm not trying to spin this. So some people, you know, would say, I don't deserve it. They're entitled to do all of that. But the vast majority of people came up, patted me in the back and say, well done. Well done, kiddo. So there was definitely, in my case, all I can share with you, more flack when people didn't know as opposed to after they knew.
Two simple reasons for that, Steve. First of all, those who would be in competition with you, I work for the BBC, but not in the same echelon, so therefore I'm not in competition with you. Those in competition with you are already on very high salaries. They're not going to regard...
I'm talking about members of the public. I'm talking about...
Yes, but on the first point, your peer group isn't going to compete with you because everybody in that peer group is well paid. But in terms of the public assumes you're well paid. To not explode your ego too much. You're one of the most prominent broadcasters. And people think that therefore you're well paid. So it wasn't a surprise that you are well paid. But the principle at stake there was for many more.
Look, I've done this, and I apologise. I've made this about me again, and I shouldn't.
It's a valid point, because I was thinking of raising it myself. You're very well paid. Well, but we're talking about not just those who are on big salaries. We're talking about those who are on 20,000, 15,000, 30,000. That's where the resentment lies. And you will end up with those individuals competing and resenting and not getting on with each other. And it's a different kettle of fish when you're in the top flight, as you are.
Yeah, but those individuals on 20 and 30 and 40 grand, why don't they deserve to get paid the same as the person next to them if they're doing the same job, Fionnuala, and they do deserve it, and they will never know that they're not getting paid the same unless there is transparency, Fionnuala. Fionnuala.
It'd be great if the woman can talk about, you know, gender stuff. I think this is so fascinating because I was listening to Lembit talk there, and I think he used the word insane or insanity two or three times, really strong language. And people are so funny about money, and particularly their salaries. There was a university survey that showed that people are seven times more likely to tell a stranger about their sex life than reveal their salary.
Really?
So there's all this
That's interesting.
huge kind of...
Tell you what, I'd rather talk about my salary than my sex life.
There's so much angst about it. But like, it's just money, for goodness sake. Look at what they do in Scandinavia. In Sweden, Norway and Finland, no matter what job you do, you know, no matter how well paid you are or not well paid you are, your tax return is put up online. It shows your total income, your tax paid, your net worth. And, you know, somehow...
Where does that happen, Fionnuala?
That's in Sweden, Norway and Finland.
All public service workers or what?
No, everybody.
Everybody?
Everybody, yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, all this stuff about insanity, the whole place is going to melt down, oh, everybody will be going mad with each other. Well, how can they manage there? Finding out what other people earn, if you're talking about the pay gap problem, I mean, it makes it self-correcting because basically women who work in organisations with open pay structures don't need to, you know, be worried that their pay isn't the same as their male colleagues for the same sort of job. They'll know if it's not. It's actually a big thing in the tech industry now. More and more companies are doing this.
Okay, so how do you, and I know it isn't PC to talk about this, but let's do it. So how do you then, Fionnuala, deal with a situation where, you know, you've got two people sitting beside each other, and of course they both think they're good at what they do, but the reality is they are not. They are not the same. One is better than the other. So how do you stop that person who doesn't realise that they just are not as good
from getting this? Good? Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean,
that is the thing. but that is the thing. So if everybody's salaries are published, then you know what's going to happen across offices throughout the whole country. You're going to have people who aren't quite as good, who do not have the same work ethic, who do not have the same magic dust, who do not have the same whatever. And they're going to end up being paid as the person who does have all of that. Is that right?
I think to bring everything out into the open, yes, if you found you were being paid less than your colleagues for the exact same work, you'd demand to be paid more, you'd go to your boss, you'd say, why is this not the case? Then there would be the opportunity to have the conversation about what you contribute, about your own worth, about what you're delivering for the organisation. Pay transparency, it would make such a difference right across, not just in terms of the gender stuff. It would expose the fact that maybe people from black or minority ethnic backgrounds are perhaps not being paid as much. It would also expose what you mentioned earlier, that the people at the very bottom of the organisation that are paid pathetically small amounts, the disparity between that and what people far further up the organisation are being paid. If you just bring it all out in the open, we can have all these conversations, and then hopefully there might be a bit of progress.
Would there not be war in the workplace? Yeah.
There would be.
Well, I think that's why a lot of employers wouldn't want this, because they know they're going to get people coming to them saying, well, why is so-and-so paid more than me? Why can't I get this? But, you know, you look at, as I already mentioned, the tech industry. Some companies there, some UK-based tech firms have done this, and it's actually worked out pretty well. It does reduce bias. It does promote diversity. I think it's worth looking at without being condemned as insanity.
How does it reduce bias? I used to work as a professional human resources training manager. Let me tell you, this was one of my responsibilities for 300 people, to look at the pay scales that were being promoted and the pay increases being promoted for 300 people. And I had to tell managers, I understand you like the person, but they don't merit the increase. And so I had to hold the line there. It wasn't a democracy. It was based on fact. There was no way on earth that company, a big multinational, could possibly operate its reward structure if everything was out in the open. Now, I agree with you with what you're trying to do. I agree that we need to deal with pay inequality, and you made a good point about diversity. But to destroy a system which works pretty well for tens of millions of people in the West and hundreds of millions of people in the world just to solve that one problem is, as I said before, using a sledgehammer to crack a nut and causing all.
Well, you're saying it works pretty. You're saying it works pretty well, Len. But of course, we don't know how well it's working or how much it's broken until people have an opportunity to really see what's going on.
Well, I do know that.
Look what happened within the BBC, for example. The BBC argued for quite a long time that to disclose presenters' salaries would end up in pay inflation, and it would be a mistake to do so. It was Lord Hall, the Director General, arguing that. After the BBC was forced to publish presenter salaries, like mine and others, Lord Hall then admitted that he had been wrong.
Right, there are two things. First of all, back to the...
And by the way, it then exposed, in exposing presenter salaries, it did then expose an inequality with some female presenters, the likes of Carrie Gracie, etc. And then the BBC sorted it. But it was only through that transparency that there was a momentum to sort it.
But two simple answers to that. First of all, it hasn't solved it in the BBC. I work at the other end of broadcasting, if you like. I do it part-time. And I know I hear the conversations about the top paid people, those in your echelon. And there is complaint because nothing's changed for those who do the mid-morning shows and do a short amount of producing. Their salaries have not gone up because of this change. And so there is that resentment, and it's still there. The second thing is, and this is perhaps even more important, I do know that the other system works because I administered it in a private company for 300 people. And I could see the differentials, I could see the rationales, and I know how hard managers had to work to convince everyone the increases are equitable. And here's the crucial point, Steve. In that particular company, it would have been utterly intolerable to have a sexist or a racist attitude towards those increases.
Okay.
It wouldn't have been counted. Well, so we would have exposed everyone's salaries for no benefit in that company.
Well, let's see what our callers think this morning. 030-30-80-55-55. 030-30-80-55-55. Wayne and Warren Point. Morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Stephen. Steve, I just want to ask this question. Is it the fact that, let's be honest, some women do golf about the job than men do. It's a fact.
And vice versa, by the way.
Yep. Yes, and true, especially with presenters that don't understand where presenters one's paid different than another when both of them probably do the same job. But my question is, are women punished? Because the fact is, they go off maternity leave to rear their families because they have to be paid. Is that one of the issues?
Sorry, what do you mean they have to be paid? You would support women, I presume, Wayne, being entitled to maternity pay when they're off having children. You would support that, surely?
I'm not arguing. I'm only asking the question, do they be punished for going off to rear their families? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I think it's wrong, but I wonder, is that the issue?
Well, it would be illegal to do that, wouldn't it? So you would hope not.
That doesn't make it right, because you see it every day where women are basically, in some cases, the pay wage gap is absolutely colossal, and it's not that they do, they probably do a better job in some cases, they don't do any worse job, or is it based on work ethic? What is their logic behind?
Do you think, Fionnuala, just to move this on slightly, do you think there is a possibility at the moment that some men who are better, and of course, look, any female who is as good as a male should be getting paid the same as a male, right? So that's a no-brainer. Bank that. Do you think there's a possibility, though, Fionnuala, that with all the momentum that there has been around equal pay, that there could be too many situations in which a woman who is not as good as a man is now getting paid as much or possibly more because of the momentum around equal pay? Do you think it's possible that men are getting a worse deal in this current climate than they deserve?
No, I don't think that's happening right now. There's always the risk of overcorrective, isn't there, with these kind of things? But I think we're so pathetically slow along the road to equal pay that we're nowhere near that stage. I think the equal pay thing, as has been evidenced by the findings of the Culture and Media Committee just yesterday, in terms of what the BBC is doing.
Yeah, and we're not just talking... I'm happy for us to talk about the BBC, but we're not just talking about the BBC here. We're talking about everywhere.
It goes beyond that, for sure. But the BBC, I think, is a good case in point because, you know, it's a our public service broadcaster, they should be setting the highest standards. So I think actually one of the female BBC presenters said that if this is happening at the BBC, then you've got to worry how much worse it is elsewhere. But just to come back to this idea of you know, discussing your salary and being open with your salary and not being so taboo, you've got to remember this, the secrecy surrounding all that, it benefits the organisation more than the employees.
No.
I really think that the concealment of pay, you know, even things like it means more money goes to those who negotiate more aggressively or say they're going to quit or people who know the boss. You know, there's all those hidden things that go on. And historically, it's been blokes who do negotiate more aggressively. You say, well, women should negotiate more aggressively too. Yeah, so they absolutely should. But there's all these sort of hidden biases that if it was just all completely open as they do in Scandinavia, then you would be exposing that. And also just one very important thing. Unconscious bias, I think, can also infiltrate salary decisions when pay is kept secret, because when pay is transparent, organisations, you know, they have to be able to justify each employee's salary, and that includes their ability and all the rest of it. But you go there, then you're at least moving towards reducing bias.
Let's talk to Robert, the taxi driver. Goodness help us. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. I would like to say very, very simple here. TV licence pays money. And taxpayers' money is getting mismanaged on a daily basis by bureaucrats controlling all the revenues. And very simple, Stephen, there is obviously a gender problem within the BBC.
I'll give you an example
on that one, Chiggy. Well, I don't hear too many women presenters on radio programmes, even like yourself when you're absent. There doesn't seem to be a female presenter presenting your show.
Well, that's not true. Well, first of all, do you really want us to be biased against Vinny, who's very good at what he does, who presents the show very well? Do you really want us to be biased against him because he's not a woman? Second point on that, Tara Mills has presented this show. Third point on that, the bosses are making a decision based on who they think is the right person to make the show, not on whether they're a man or a woman.
Well, there's where the bureaucratic thinking comes in there, Stephen. That's the bottom line, and that's my honest opinion.
So let's just on this. I'm doing this off the top of my head, right?
Hold on a minute. If you think about
BBC Northern Ireland. And this is just coming off the top of my head. Wendy Austin, prominent broadcaster, BBC Northern Ireland. Donna Traynor, prominent broadcaster, BBC Northern Ireland. Tara Mills, prominent broadcaster. In fact, does Newsline have a male front presenter at the moment? Nobody's talking about that it's all women.
Well,
so you're talking nonsense. If Newsline had two male presenters as their front presenters, would people be kicking off that there were no women? And the point is, nobody's kicking off that there are no frontline men presenting Newsline. I'm not criticising them by no means. I'm just making the point that for you to say there are no prominent women in BBC Northern Ireland, there are lots. Our big news show has women. If you take BBC Spotlight, Mandy McCauley, one of the most prominent and rightly shows, she's brilliant, journalists in Northern Ireland. So I would reject what you're saying, Robert.
Right, Stephen, now listen to this. Right? And a taxi driver knows a councillor very well, and he met him in a bank, and he says, well, they were having a conversation, and the councillor said he brought this up at a council meeting. When councillors in Belfast City Council have to make domestic calls, he had a cheque for 89p, right?
No, we'll have to pick this story up some other time. No, because we can't go into 89p cheques when we're 20 seconds left. Fionnuala, thank you. Limbert, thank you. Morning to you. Robert, thank you. We will pick that up again.